Everybody here, welcome, welcome, welcome to you, lady in the red over there. Welcome, welcome, sir. Glad that you were able to come by tonight. Welcome to all those that are listening live and also coming on record. This is our Wednesday night question and answering. And I believe that there has been some questions that have come in the reference of lost. Like, how could you say I'm lost? How can the world say I'm lost? I'm not lost. I know where I'm at. I know where I live. I know what family I come from. I know my name. It's not like I'm lost in the woods. It's not like I'm lost in the city. It's not like I'm lost. What do you mean I'm lost? Well, I want to start out and let everyone understand that being lost is not a carnal way of life. It's a spiritual way of life. But at the same time, your spiritual life is really the life that we should be living. And it's separated by two. There's a life that we live based on our own understanding. Most of us, and I was speaking to a wonderful woman earlier today, about how most of us are brought together with a life, what am I going to do for a living? And they seek financial security, health security, and I guess just plain old security, comfort of security, knowing that they're going to have a job or a solid career and that they're going to make enough money or they're going to make a lot of money. You know, think about it. When you decided your career, what was one of the most important things that you thought of? Stability, right? You know, making sure I'm locked in and secure and that I'm not concerned about tomorrow. And I know when I started searching for my life was based on I'm going to be self-employed. I'll make all my issues my own problems. And if I fail, it's based on my own, not because of some other company I worked for. So I chose that route. And then I thought, well, if I work real hard, I'll make a lot of money. And then security, I wouldn't have to worry about it because, you know, I'm the boss. I don't have to, you know. And if I made enough money, then I could deal with my own health insurance, my own health benefits. And if I need to go to a doctor, I'll just, you know, buy the doctor. And that's really what most people start their life with. And they miss the life that we were originally given. And it's based on not our fault. It's based on traditions, based on, you know, generations. Well, I don't want to see you struggle. I don't want to see you, you know, make sure you get a good job. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do. They never teach you the way. They never teach you the life. And, you know, we go to the church, you know, we go seek religion for spiritual awakening, spiritual thirstiness, spiritual, you know, enlightenment to find ourselves. And that don't help because all they do is put do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs on you and regulations and good morals. And they tell you how to live good morals. Or you can reach certain ecstasies where you can meditate for hours and just hum and find your rest and peace. Did I miss anything? I think I pretty much struck it right. Well, that's not the intentions that literally God had, our Creator, for us. The priest or the prophets or the men of God or women of God are to direct us in this life, not morals of right, wrong, good, and bad, and traditions of, you know, how many times you should pray and how to pray and stuff like that. It was really based on trying to find your life, trying for you to have a relationship with God. And this is where our generations and traditions have robbed us, because of them not being taught properly, steered us in the wrong direction, even though you think that they're looking out for our best interest. You should be a doctor, make a lot of money. You should be a teacher and be secure and reach tenure, and you know, and then you don't have to worry about it. They can't get rid of you or whatever. Go in your own business and, you know, and try to make it that way. I had a conversion. And in that conversion, my life was changed. I had epiphany. I had many things happen to me. My one main thing was I was, how would you say, plucked from the earth and brought into a heavenly place, a universal place, and been able to see beyond. Is that how you would interpret it, Dennis? Something like that? Brought to the beyond? And was given the mysteries, ancient secrets and mysteries of what life is. And our Creator, our Heavenly Father, God, has created each and every one of us with a life already founded. Now, the beautiful thing is God is so massively intelligent, beyond our comprehension, that He knew back in 2000 BC, He would create that individual with a life that went with 2000 BC. And then if you're like in the year 2016, He created you with a 2016 life. He knew that the life was going to change and things about it were going to change. And He has given to us everything that we are to be. I truly believe that He is the teacher of all things. And if He's the teacher of all things, I believe He teaches us what He has given us to be. How many people understand this one? Now, God knows that you need money. God knows that you need stability. God knows that you need health. God knows that you need all these things. And He has given us life that provides all these things. The problem is we can't comprehend this because it's not tangible. You can't see it. You can't really believe it. And we are to be instructed in a way where we live our life based under a substance, based on a power that corresponds and comes alongside of God. And it's faith. The thing that we're lacking the most is the understanding and the meaning and the power of faith. And I want to bring something across that if we can build a strong foundation on faith, we will create a life that has been given to us that will supply all our needs. Each and every one of you have a certain level of want. Some may want, let's use money value, $10 million, and they'll feel comfortable. I got a hand over there. That's me. And then yet, you might have another that is content just eating good food, having a decent house over their head, a drivable car, you know? And I got a hand over here. And there's different levels. Now, don't you know that God knows those levels? And the faster we come into this mystery of faith, the faster we get to this place, this level. Now, our lives change every day, like the seasons, the weather. Our lives change. When I was younger, I had greater ideas, greater ambitions, greater value. Things were more important than others. And then as I got older, things changed. The things that were important to me then weren't as important to me now. The things that weren't that important to me may be considered now as if it wasn't. Now I'm at an age, and I know where I'm at in my call, and now I'm at a place of peace, rest. I shared earlier with Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim, two of the pastors in the ministry, about children. The only thing that we need to teach children in this realm of faith and God and life, because life isn't really established yet in them. They're growing. And the only thing that we need to teach them is how to rest, how to be patient, not be anxious for anything. And if we can teach them golden rules, because most of us are anxious, we feel like nothing's getting done, we wait 2 days and it's like, well, listen, it's only been 4 weeks and look at you, it's a mess. What do you want? You want Rome built in a day or what, you know? With God, it's an eternity thing. It's an eternal life. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So one of the greatest gifts and lessons that we can be taught, especially at a very young age, is to be at rest. Like, I admire Abba, my one girl. I'll use these three girls as an example because she's always at rest. And that's good. I would like to see her sleep her whole day away if she wants. And then she'll be motivated, get up, and she'll do something. And then she'll rest. And then she'll get motivated and do something. And then there's others where they might say, I'm bored. No, you're not bored. She's like, me? No, you're not bored. You just don't know what to do with yourself. You got to learn to rest. You got to learn to just rest. Because God has created life for us, and we have to find this life. This is what it means to be lost. We're lost. We're all lost. Every one of us are lost. You might not think you're lost, but we're lost. If you have no rest, you're lost. There is a supernatural life that we need to find. And there's one thing called power. And some know it as the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to just say that there is power that motivates us. We'll say Holy Spirit because we want it to be the good spirit. We don't want to be motivated by bad spirits. But to be motivated by bad spirits is when you don't know or haven't learned the art of rest. If you are not at rest, you will motivate and be moved by power of darkness. Did you know that? That's why God says he desires that you would enter into his rest. How many people understand this one? This is important to understand. See, we have to lose our life in order to gain one. And not many of us understand or know what it means to lose a life. And to lose a life is basically everything that you think you know, everything you think you should be doing, everything that was told to you from your generations and your past. Now, girls, don't disregard anything I tell you, because I look at a new generation has arisen. through my transformation of being what some may say born again. And through that, it's a whole different way of life. It literally goes against the way you think life is. You think you need to do, when the reality is you're not supposed to do anything but let the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, move you. And you can't hold back the power of the Spirit. Has anyone felt an unction of doing something and they just couldn't sit still and they just had to get it done? Okay, that's an example of the power of the Holy Spirit. You were just sitting there, you know, minding your own business, and then all of a sudden you had this unction, and it was like you sat there and still tried to watch TV. And, you know, you're at rest and you're like, don't leave me alone, I'm at rest. And, you know, and it was like you had to spring up and do it. You had to take care of it and get it done, and then you go back to rest. Well, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we can learn this simplicity of this truth, we will really enjoy this life because you get a lot of rest. You get a lot of rest, but yet when the power of the Holy Spirit moves you, you get a lot done. You get a lot done. See, most of us think that the power is within ourselves. How many of us faced a day where we say, oh, I got all this to do. I got so much to do. How am I going to get this all done? Well, right there, you're not putting your life into the supernatural life. You're putting your life in a carnal life. On the tip of our tongue, it should always be Lord willing. Should always be Lord willing. Well, if I get it done, I get it done. If not, I don't. You know, you can make plans, but everything should be Lord willing. Lord willing. Lord willing. Lord willing. How many people get frustrated if they don't get everything done? Shame, shame, shame. Shame, shame, shame. You're putting yourself in torment. You're driving yourself. You're taking yourself out of rest. Rest is probably one of the greatest keys that you can build yourself into. Understand this. The spiritual life is completely opposite to the carnal life. The carnal life, you would think you always have to be busy, you always have to accomplish, you always have to do, you always have to, you know, fulfill, do. But the spiritual life literally is more of a surrender and a rest. And then you all of a sudden you find that you're getting done more than you possibly could think of. When someone's mind is not at rest, they can't focus as much, and they end up doing things twice, three times, four times. Has anyone ever done that? Has anyone repeated themselves because of the fact that they just weren't thinking straight, and they tend to like forget where they put the paper at? And then they're spending another hour trying to find it. And then here it is right in front of them. And, you know, they're all symptoms of not at rest. You don't have a life. You got to get a life. When you're at rest, your mind's at rest. You have a tendency to remember. When you do something, it's in order. You're not putting something down and then picking it back up, putting it down, picking it back up. And you're wasting so much more time that way. When if you were just at rest, it would just be simultaneously, boop, 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 done. Instead of boom, bop, boop, boop, bop, boop, bop, boom, boop, bop, boom, boom. And then never getting it done. Maybe quitting. I'll pick up on it tomorrow. I'm frustrated. In order to find this life, look, nobody knows, it's a mystery. Nobody knows what we're to do. Nobody has any idea. What am I going to be, a singer? Am I going to be a musician? Am I going to be a doctor? Am I going to be a lawyer? Am I going to be a teacher? Nobody knows. It's a mystery. until you begin to rest. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God quickens you. It may not even still tell you, but then all of a sudden you find yourself working with orphans, or you find yourself working with little kids. And then next thing you know, that turns into, you know, working in an orphanage or something else. You never know what you're going to do. You never know. There's no like, I'm going to be a doctor, and then you start walking towards that. It's the opposite. You don't know. And then next thing you know, you are. It's formed. It's created. Now, some of us are gifted in areas of having passions and desires. And they may want to do artwork, or they might want to create and knit yarn, or be a musician or sing. But they still don't know how they're going to get there. And you rest. Some people start as a hobby. Well, I'll do this part-time. And because you're doing it part-time, guess what? It probably stays part-time. Because you're steered towards, I got to make money. I got to get health insurance. I got to get security. I got to get all these things. This is why it's so important to live a life that we don't know yet, to find this life, to lose a life, to fall into faith. And when you fall into faith, you create a God. And this God's there to help you, guide you, and lead you, and direct you. Here in this ministry, we're trying to show you and teach you how to have a relationship with God so that you can lose your life and find a life. It's harder for older people than it is younger people. And the reason is because they're entrenched in old habits, old way of thinking. Not only are they entrenched in that, they have developed a thing called fear. They're afraid. And that fear takes a lot of a hold on us. And we live with fear for a while. But this creation of faith through a God, there has to become a love. And this love casts out this fear that is so ensnared on us. And this is why I try to steer us in a way where we need to create God and then love this God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Create this God so that you know that this God's going to supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. His riches in glory is the life that He has for you. We don't know this life yet. We have no idea what this life is going to be. But we got to start somewhere. We got to start somewhere. And I know where to start. You got to lose your life. You got to start. And this is why I always say to those that are listening, you have to first be sick and tired of being sick and tired and be willing to quit what you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of. And 99.9%, it's the life that you're living. You got to say to yourself, I don't like this life anymore. It's boring. It's. I'm not getting any younger. I only got like 20, 30 more years to go. I want to live. I want to have excitement. I want to have joy. I want to peace. I want to live on the edge. I want to get to that point of having a life. That's when this ministry will do justice in your life. That's when this ministry is knocking at your door. Because if you don't want to lose your life, you can't have this ministry. This ministry is not for you. This ministry, you might as well just forget about it and go to church and get religion. This ministry is about a relationship with a God that you don't know and to live a life that you have no idea what it is. Isn't that amazing? And so, if this is something that you want, then you came to the right place. If you think you got it all together, and you're cool, and you know your life, and you know where you're going, and this is what you're going to do, well, then you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time. Now, those that are willing to give it an effort, still got their life together, and you're giving it an effort because you believe that there is something here, you're better off than most people. And I'm going to say, stay on the right path. It'll do something for you. But if you want to get the fullness, if you really want to experience signs and wonders and miracles and supernatural things in your life, if you really want to experience joy and peace and also a form of righteousness, you got to lose your life. You got to count everything that you know and throw it away. You got to stop caring. You got to stop caring about, you know, whether or not you have enough money. You got to stop caring whether or not you have your health insurance or health benefits. You got to stop caring about security. Because you have to give it all to God. You have to give everything to Him. And know that in your heart. You got to be able to live that way in your heart. And this will be the develop of a true faith and a true God. Because if you surrender your life in your heart, He knows that. You become humble. And the humility draws creation to you. And if you know that you are looking sincerely for a new life, and you confess with your heart, not with your lips, but with your heart, our Creator, this God that I'm talking about, the true Creator, comes into your life. He draws near to you. You draw near to Him, He draws near to you. How many of us want the real God? I'm talking about the real one, the Creator, the one who can do signs and wonders and miracles in your life, the one who has authority over everything, the one who given you life and power. That's the one I want. So we need to be steered in the right direction and not falter to the left or the right. And this is why I'm against, what do you want to say, controlled religion? Just religion in itself? Organized religion or what have you? Because they're so focused on do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs, they're taking it away from relationship and life. And they're not bringing you to the right living God. And it's important to understand the right living God. Because that's the one that gives you the life. That's the one that gives you the power. That's the one that creates and gives you those things that don't exist into existence. In the book in Romans, you know, there was an outpouring of the Spirit. And then Peter stood up and said, you know, this Jesus is a man that was just like us, who God did these miracles, signs, and wonders through Him. And so we need to understand that this is the God that we want in our lives. This is the God, or your life won't be created. He won't give you the life. He's the one that gives us the life through faith. Even though we are creating Him through faith, He's creating life in us. So it's like from Him, through Him, to Him kind of thing. It starts with us first. We begin to create God by faith. We begin to create desires by faith. We begin to create wants and needs by faith. And as we begin to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. You only have to ask him one time. Now walk in it. Don't look at how much money you have. Don't look at how much anything you have. Pastor Tim just experienced something not too long ago. He walked in the Word. And then later, he saw provision, even though he didn't have provision. If there's something that we want, something that we need, something we need to do, I say, do it. But first, make sure that you create a God. Don't do it unless you create a God. You need a foundation of creation. You need God. You need a relationship. And you need to depend on this relationship 100-fold. Not half, not 25%. It's got to be 100%. And then you got to talk to him and say, okay, God, this is what I want to do. Now, he'll do the little things. Don't worry. Don't worry if you're going before him. Don't worry if you're slowing down. Don't worry about nothing, because worrying begins to start stealing some of the substance of faith away. And we want to live 100% in faith. So we don't want any worry to take any of that faith away. It's like diluting it. You don't want to dilute. You want full 100%, bam. So don't dilute it with worry. We wait on the Lord. This is why it's so important to have patience, not be anxious for nothing, and understand God's rest. And this is why I'm going to teach my children how to rest, how to be patient, and not be anxious for anything. We wait on the Lord. We wait. We wait, we wait, we wait, and we keep waiting, and we'll continue to wait, and we will continue to wait until all of a sudden, pow, there it is. How long did you have to wait for those shoes? A couple weeks. Could have ran out and got them right away. But it's teaching wait. Just wait. Be patient. It'll come. Are you desiring them enough? Did you surrender to the Lord to them? Did you give it to the Lord? Did you ask the Lord for them? Ask the Lord for them. You see? And we keep waiting. Now, God will do something for those that are leading their families. Like, I lead my family into patience. Like, I could have bought the shoes for them, but I made them wait on the Lord and got their hearts to cry to him, and he heard his heart and stuff like that. But those that are leading their own life, you have to tend to wait until all of a sudden you feel this unction. I think I got to move. I think I got to do it. I think I got to do it. I think I got to do it. And then you just go ahead and do it. Don't lean on your own understanding, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then just do it. I know that there are some things coming up in the future. I know that we're planning a trip. I know that I'm not financially ready for this trip. I got other things that I'm not financially ready for that I want to. I'm calling on his name. Come on, God. I'm even finding ways of selling some stuff. But I know that the Lord will provide. And we just wait on the Lord and keep waiting. And things will happen. faith, and now we have this thing called works. Faith without works is dead. Now, the works isn't putting it on a punch list and one day filling it. If you are going to have this life, you need to begin to live this life and not worry about tomorrow. You got to die daily. And you got to begin to just now begin to start saying, okay, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And if you have the resources, do it. Don't wait. I'm going to call Sam up because I know he has a little bit of something stirring up inside of him. And he's been listening to one of our CDs that spoke about faith and creation. And I'm just going to let him, you know, confirm on what was being said and maybe elaborate on some other stuff. But please, those that are listening, those that are here, lose your life. I'm going to leave with this one. Lose your life. You're still living. You haven't died yet. You got to literally lose your life. Just because you made a change doesn't mean that you lost your life. You got to lose your life. That means you got to throw away all these cares. There's too many cares that are in our lives, and we got to get rid of the cares. And as you're getting rid of your cares, don't be anxious for nothing. You need to settle your heart. You need to know that eternity is a long, long time. And you might be saying, well, I don't have a long, long time. You can't be anxious because he'll extend your life. You see? We got to just not be so anxious, and we need to come into this rest. This is so, so important. If we get anything out of it, anything out today, get this. Lose your life and come into a rest. And don't be anxious for nothing. And create God, a relationship with God. Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And give your life to this creation. And then begin to live by faith. And watch what happens.
Amen. Amen. Just to elaborate, I'm not going to be long. But Pastor spoke a message a long time ago. And he said that God is not alive until you create him. And everybody was like, huh? The whole place looked at him kind of crazy. And he said, God's not alive until you create him. Now, we all know God's alive. But how alive is he to you? That's the question. Yeah, we all believe God's alive. We all say we believe God. We all say we know God. We all say we believe in a God. But how much do we really believe? Because if you say you believe God, then there shouldn't be any fear, shouldn't be any worry, shouldn't be any anxiety. There should be a total trust. The word believe means to give yourself to something, even though you don't see fully what's happening. To give yourself over to something fully. And Pastor was speaking the message, and he was saying, you know, God's not created until you create him through faith. See, God's a God of faith. That means you can't see him, feel him, or touch him. So the only way you can know him, the only possible way to know God is through faith. If I could see him, feel him, or touch him, I don't need faith to believe because I can see him, feel him, or touch him. But I need faith to see him. I need faith to believe him. And where does faith come from? God's given us, every one of us, a measure of faith. Every single solitary person in this world has been given a measure of faith. And that faith is for one reason, to believe in him. That's it. He gave everyone a measure of faith, a measure of belief, a measure of peace, and said, if you just trust me a little bit, See, Pastor's talking about rest. And I was in Hebrews 4. And Hebrews 4:9 says, therefore, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest, he himself has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. See, we have the power to create in our lives. You can create through fear, worry, and anxiety, or you can create through peace and joy and happiness. Either way, something's being created. See, everything you're doing is sowing a seed. And every seed, whether it's faith or doubt, is going to bring back fruit of some sort, bring back a harvest of some sort, bring back some kind of result. So we're putting everything we have into it. You know, I've seen people so riddled with fear, they just sit there in a chair and just tremble. Overtaken. They drive in a car and they're panicking. They panic. They have this, there's no peace about them. So anxious that you're talking to somebody and they turn around and they flip out. That's craziness. That's no control. But there's a rest for the people of God. And that rest is actually your works. See, it says here, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God who he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to labor to enter into that rest. Let us therefore be diligent to labor to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So how do you fall? By not entering into his rest. There's a rest for the people of God. There's a peace. You know, there's God, the scripture says, is the way, the truth, and the life. God is life. God is truth. So what creates God is truth. But there's truth that you have in your mind, and then there's real truth that comes from God's mouth or comes from the Spirit of God. One creates, one destroys. The truth that comes from God is going to create. The truth that comes from God is going to say all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The truth is always going to build up and edify you. That's what the truth does. Another truth in here, a big one that I could just let you have real quick. Pastor said a long time ago, surrender, accept, and you'll receive. That's one of the biggest truths that we have in here. See, these truths that we speak in here, there's a lot of them. There is CD after CD after CD. There's message after message after message after message. And it's all speaking truth. And really, it's really a lot of the same truth, just spoken different ways. God's trying to build a foundation in every one of us. And truth is God. Truth is that foundation. So it says to surrender, accept, and you'll receive. Pastor was talking about earlier finding that place of rest. The only place you find rest is through surrender. See, we can't control anything in this world except for you. Only thing you have the power to control is you. You can't control anything else. And when we try to control other things, that's the works he's talking about that we create through our own fear, worry, and anxiety that creates death. That's the works he's talking about, through fear, worry, and anxiety. And those works lead to death. But when you surrender, basically you're saying, not my will, your will be done. That's the prayer that I've been saying constantly over and over. Something doesn't happen in my life the way I want it to happen. When something seems like it's not happening right, my cry is, Father, not my will, your will be done. Let me surrender to whatever I see is happening. Let me surrender, and then I have to accept it. This is the hard part. See, it's not that hard to surrender, but to accept it, that's a hard part. Because you're accepting what you don't think is right. You're accepting what's going against your flesh. You're accepting what's going against what everybody's telling you is wrong. So you got every voice in your head trying to tell you, oh, don't go left. Don't go, but my heart's saying go left. No. You can't go left. There's lions down there. What are you, crazy? You have to go right. Why do I have to go right? Because I say so. There's lions down there, but my heart's saying go left. Nah, you got to go right. So you have to accept whatever's happening, knowing that God is in control. It's a huge truth. There are so many truths in here that pastors have spoken over the years that we have to just keep listening to and listening to, and they create a foundation. And that foundation will catapult you and keep you moving forward and keep God creating in your life. But as soon as you stop, as soon as you don't accept something that you don't like, your life stops. And you stay right there. And you don't go forward past that point because you didn't get what you wanted. You didn't get what you thought you wanted. You didn't get that person, that girl, that guy, that job. You didn't get it. Or whatever it is. But when you surrender and you accept, you're going to receive. And what do you receive? Peace. You receive joy. You might not see results happening right away in your life. You might not see the mountain in front of you move right away. But if you find that peace and you find that joy, like he was talking about earlier with the kids, with the shoes, let's wait. Let's ask God. Let's be patient. Let's let God do this. Because you can't do it on your own. If you don't have $60 in your pocket, you ain't buying no shoes. That's the bottom line. So you just sit back and you wait. You surrender. I can't afford shoes right now, Father, so I'm just going to stop fighting it. I'm going to stop crying about it. I'm going to stop worrying about it. I'm going to accept it. You know what, Father? I know that you have my best will, my best intentions at heart, and I know you're going to provide. I know you're going to provide. I trust you with my whole heart. I'm not going to allow fear and worry to come in. I'm just going to keep trusting you and praising you and thanking you. And as you do that, you will receive those shoes. Someone's going to come knock on your door and have your perfect shoes that you wanted in the perfect size that fits your feet and say, here. I don't know why I had to do this, but here. See, God said that we're more than conquerors. Why do we have to keep fighting? How long are we going to keep fighting? How long? He said, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, everyone who's weary and heavy. Well, who's not weary and heavy laden? That's the whole entire world. We're all tired. We're all sick and tired. We're all beat up. But we have a God who is there to hold us in his arms and comfort us and say, if you just worship me, if you just worship me, if you just accept me and my truths, I will open every door for you in your life. Nothing will ever stop you. You can have peace every day of your life. It's your choice. See, you choose everything. You wake up and you have a choice. Am I going to have a good day or a bad day? It's your choice. You have been given the power of choice. It's called your free will. You get to choose. Good day, bad day. Oh, you don't know what I had to go through. The kids were bad and this happened and this happened. You still chose it. You still chose it. No one could come into your mind, open the door, rip out your piece, throw it away, and put crap in there. It does not happen. You have to surrender to the person in front of you, or whatever, your kids, whatever it is, and allow them to steal your piece. See, this is what we teach in here. That the truth that we give you, the truth that you hear about God, allows you to trust him so that you can keep your peace. Keep your joy. It's a choice. If we make it as simple as a choice, then you see the power that God's given you. If you make it anything other than a choice, then it's not God. It's that simple. There is a life that God's given us. There's a path. There's a passion, a hope in every single one of us. And there's a fullness for that passion to come to fruition. But until we rest and stop creating our works, stop creating how we think it should happen, and just rest and say, God, I want those shoes. I want those shoes, but nevertheless, not my will. Your will be done. Yo, God, you see that toe poking through that shoe? It's hot. It's hot out here. You want to help me out here? But nevertheless, yeah, God, I know that you're going to send me to the cross, and I know you want me to be beaten and destroyed and crushed and smacked around and die for the sins of the world. But nevertheless, not my will. Your will be done. This is where you're going to find peace. You have to cultivate. We have to cultivate the truth of God. And the only way to get it, I've listened to 1,000 preachers, 100,000 preachers out there, been to thousands of churches, trying to find a truth that lines up with what we have here, and I can't find it yet. Sorry, churches out there, sorry to offend you, but I can't find it. This place will give you freedom. It will not put you in bondage. This place, you will find the fullness that God has for you in your life. The truth that you have in here. You will find the life as long as you keep coming, as long as you keep listening, as long as you don't give up. Just keep fighting. Just stick in there. Keep listening to the message. Just keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's hard not to give up. But I promise you this, you keep listening and keep listening and keep listening, and all of a sudden, you're going to hear this still soft voice inside of you. One day, say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I love you. And now, you found me. And now we're together forever. And from that day forward, you're going to know that you're loved by God and He lives inside of you. And the path that He put inside of you will come to pass, because we're not going to not let it happen. See, all we care about, and this is the truth, all we care about is for you to receive the fullness that God has for you in your life. We have nothing to gain from you coming here. You're not going to make us rich. You're here because God sent you here, because He has a plan for your life. And He said He's given teachers and preachers and prophets and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. So please, keep listening. Keep listening. Don't give up. Don't give up. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you just listen and keep listening, the truth will start making sense. It might not make sense in the beginning, because right now our minds are all jumbled with every lie from the world versus the truth from God. Just think for a second. You get a little lump in your neck. A little lump. First thought, oh my God, I have cancer, I'm going to die. It's not, I might have a pimple right here, ingrown hair. It's not that. It's, oh my God, I have cancer, my life's over. Our minds are trained to go to the worst case scenario every single time, no matter what. Our minds have been trained by the world to go to the worst case scenario. What we do here is we reprogram your mind. We wipe away the hard drive and we put a Christ drive in there. But that's what we do, because the lies in your head create death. What's the first thought? I have cancer. I'm going to die. It's not. It could be a lump. It could be a little pimple. It's the worst case scenario. You get a letter in the mail. You owe $6,000 end of the month, and it's 10 days to go. Your life's over. Honey, we're losing the house. Go pack your bags. We got to go. What do you mean? We got 10 days. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. And you say you know God. And you say you trust God. See, this man gets a letter in the mail, says you got 10 days to go. He starts laughing. What's he going to do? He starts laughing. He goes, yo, God, you know. And he walks away. And 10 days later, probably the 10th day, the last hour, some clown will show up at his house and give him a check for $6,000. That doesn't even like him anymore. That got in a fight with him 10 years prior and hated him. This is the kind of God is awesome. God will mess you up with what he does. He is incredible. Let's hear your testimony.
I got a testimony. You're going to like this testimony. We were talking about rest tonight, right? Okay. Mary Lou was there too. And Shelly has been dealing with this. I got a freezer down in the basement. And the freezer is leaking water. And it made a big flood. And I was like, is the freezer still frozen? It's like, yeah. Is it working? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the pan overflowed, drip pan. Maybe that, you know. She goes down there looking. There is no drip pan. Well, the freezer model doesn't have a drip pan. And I'm like, I can't do anything about it now anyhow. What do you want me to do? Get down there and look at it. Get down there, you know, fix that thing. Get down there and fix it. I said, just don't worry about it. Relax. Just relax. It's water in the basement. It's all right. Is it flooded? No, just a puddle. Throw some towels around it. You know, it'll get sopped up. I asked her today, did you check out the freezer? She goes, what'd you do? Fix it? I said, no, I didn't do anything. Did you look at it? She goes, yeah, it's dry. I said, oh, so it's all fixed? Good. What are you worrying about it for? So I got angels that'll fix these things. There's no more water. The water appeared like 3-4 days in a row with puddles, big puddles. And I was like, huh? What am I going to do? Lord knows how to fix these things. Just rest, relax. The whole moral of our conversation was, relax. Relax. I even turned to Mary Lou. I said, Mary Lou, you got 2 cents about it? I'd probably go look at it. I said, relax. It'll be okay. Freezer's fixed, huh? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen? Amen. Tim's got something to say. Yeah. Just relax. Everything.
I'll keep it short.
Now, on your case, Tim, he's got a big shed. I would say rest and relax, and probably the guys that are building it will say, oh, we'll move it for you. But we won't go there. No. I'll be there Monday.
That's a big task. But it will be completed. You know, God says we are predestined with a purpose and a life. So if that's the truth, which it is, why do we worry? Why do we fear? Because of the carnal nature. You know, God says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. And if you listen to what everybody was speaking about tonight, wide is the road that leads to destruction is because there's uncertainty in your life, and you're striving to make it happen. When God has already purposed and planned everything before you, it's all preordained. And when you find the life that we're talking about tonight through faith, it's very narrow, and it dwells within your heart. And that's why we've been saying, if you listen to your heart, his commandments are written upon your heart, and you will find eternal life. But it takes faith. A strong person lives a life of faith. A very weak person will live a life by reasoning, worry, anxiety, but a strong person lives by faith. You got to be strong to live a life of faith, because you don't know which way is up, but all you can do is have a belief in your God and know that he will supply all your needs. And when you do that, you'll see miracles, signs, and wonders, because you don't know how things are going to happen, but you have a knowing that you know it's going to happen. Because you trust him. Think about a relationship with someone that you have in your life. It took faith and it took trust to build that relationship because you didn't know that person originally, but you came and encountered each other and you started to develop a relationship over time. But it took faith to know that person and to trust that person. It's the same thing with God. When you start listening to the commandments that are on your heart and you're living it by faith, you can't see God in a physical realm, but you can see him here because he lives here. And he shows you by visions, dreams, your hopes, your desires, your inspirations, there's unctions that are moving you. And life. You learn by life. Look, when I first came to try and know God, I knew him as a form of godliness, but I didn't have the power thereof. It took time for me to continue to trust him, and I was continuing to trust him, and it took time, and finally, I got it. It took time, though. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, not many people are going to find it overnight. It takes time because we learn by experiences of the things that we suffer. And you know why we suffer? Because we're reasoning with our minds and we're striving to make things happen. That's why we suffer instead of resting and letting God deal with it. You know, there's things in life that we need done. If we rest, watch what God does in our life to make it happen, like the freezer. You know, he didn't panic. He just said, oh, well, you know what? God, you deal with it. I'm going to rest and watch what happened. God sucked it right up and made the freezer work again. And it's beyond your understanding. And that's what we're speaking about in this ministry all the time. It's not about your understanding. It's not about your knowledge. But it's about a trust and a relationship with God by faith. And that faith will move mountains in your life. Because I tell you what, everybody in this world has mountains that we create, and there's things that are obstacles, and we can't move them. In the natural, we can't move it. But by faith, watch what God does. He moves those mountains that are in your mind, mountains that are in your daily walk, and he creates a life in you, and you have eternal life because you have that trust and that relationship and that faith in him. And that's what we're speaking about every single day. We live it. This ministry, we live it. And like Sam said, I'm on the internet a lot, and I'm looking up other ministries. I'm looking up churches because I want to know what the Spirit of God is saying out there. And you know what? We're set apart. We're different. You know why? Because there's a mighty move of God coming right now, and it's present because there's a whole world crying out, Abba, Father. They're in trouble, and they want a relationship with God. They don't want religion. They want to have a life and a relationship with God, and they're seeking. And there's a move coming that's going to bring the heart of the people back to God, and they're going to have a relationship with God. And that's what it's all about. It's not about a church. It's not about a person. It's not about prophets. It's not about any of this. It's all about a relationship personally with God, and that's what this ministry stands for, to bring that relationship back to God for you. Amen. I'm going to hand it back to Pastor. Amen. So we just want to thank everybody that logged on. You can listen to previous message recorded if you log on to www.glorytothenations.org. We also are on live stream, so I'm sure a lot of people that are listening on the internet log on through live stream. We do have a Sunday service that's coming up this week. Our worship team does a fabulous job. We start at 10 o'clock for worship, and 11 o'clock service starts. So we welcome you to come out here. You can find us on our website. You can find out the address and directions to get here. But, you know, it's nice to listen on the internet, but if you can get here, there's a presence of God that will touch you in a special way and that will change your life forever. And that's the God that we serve, that we have a relationship with. And he wants to make it evident in your life too. Amen. So, hey, have a great week. We'll see you hopefully Sunday. If not, log on to our website and you can listen to the message.